Oh, you guys, I love you. Good. I'm so glad you're here today. It's a good day. Good today. We have so much to be grateful for. Have you ever been to Black Flags? Well, what was it called? Is that Black Flags or Six Flags? Used to be Magic Mountain, I think, years ago when they first opened. I don't know. So what's it called? Six Flags. Six Flags. Black Flags. Yeah, that might not go over well. Six Flags. Oh. Have you been to Six Flags? How many of you? Oh, a lot of you. Yeah. It's where Pam and I grew up. It's about a half an hour, 40 minutes from where we grew up as kids, and spent our first 20-some years there. And have been to Six Flags many times. And I enjoy the rides, always have, just been that kind of guy. And, you know, the roller coasters, the Viper, I think it's called. There was one that the girls said, "Dad, go with us." And it's way high. And I said, "Oh, I don't know if I'd like that." "No, Dad, go with us." Okay, so went there. And what it does is you lean back, and it takes you up 5 miles in the air. Now, that might be an exaggeration, but you're like this, and then when you bring your forward, it's like you feel like you're 10 miles high. And so I literally, when it brought us forward, and I'm looking down, and I literally said, "Jesus, what have I done?" I was so scared. And then what happens is the bottom falls out, and you go with it. And you fall, a free fall, for I don't know, you know, that 5 miles high. Scary stuff. But it was fun. After you were done and, you know, your legs quit shaking, you have manned up. You know, you did it. Well, one time we went and they wanted me to go on this ride. It didn't seem like much of a ride, and it didn't seem like that big of a deal. But it was a little container that you would go in, and it was round, and you stood there against the wall. And then it starts spinning. No problem. And then as you're spinning, and it gets going faster and faster, then the bottom begins to fall out. So now you're against the wall, and it's just kind of cool, you know. And I felt like I was slipping a little bit, maybe heavier than most, I don't know. But the centrifugal force was keeping you against the wall, and it was really a great ride until I got off. And I started walking. Now, the thing had quit spinning, but my brain did not. It was still spinning. And I remember getting off that thing and started going kind of like this. I don't know if I have some inner ear problem that was going on at the time, but, and then I got sick. And I got a real bad headache. And it was morning. We went off. Because I'm feeling sick. We went out of Six Flags, and I laid down for the rest of the day as they went and they played. My brain was still going to and fro. I kind of feel like that now in my life, in my brain, because I have this issue. The doctor's trying to figure out what it is, and that's happening in my brain. It's going to and fro. It just and sometimes it gets worse than others, and I feel like a drunken sailor. I'm just kind of walking like this. Now I'm okay. Everything's fine, but it's a weird kind of feeling. But we're going to talk today a little bit about to and fro, and who goes to and fro. And it talks about to and fro by different kinds of doctrines that are not the doctrines of God, that are not what God wants for us. And the problem is, with talking about this, is none of us feel like we have a problem going to and fro. All of us feel mature. Well, let's read this text in Ephesians 4, and it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers," the apostles, I think we could say the apostles and prophets, that this is it. Did I just go dead? Okay, we'll try that. I need my notes. So, the apostles and prophets, that's the word of God. And the evangelist, that's someone who is really gifted in molding people to tell people about Jesus Christ. He has a true gift in that. And then they have the shepherds, the pastors and teachers, those who teach the word of God and who shepherd the flock. But the purpose of it is to equip the saints. The saints, it's interesting, the saints. You and I are saints. We're saints when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We're saints, we know Jesus, he has raised us up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. Our position is that we're saints. Are we perfect? No. Do we have a lot of issues? Yes. Is it easy for us to be tossed to and fro? Yes. Yes. Now remember when he starts this in the first part of Ephesians. He says that we're to walk in humility and in meekness. And that was the example that Jesus gave us. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And humility, walk in humility. And we talked about submission and who we're to submit to. And Paul goes on in the practical sense of the doctrine, who we should submit to. Husbands and wives submit to each other. The parents and children submit to each other. Workers and bosses submit to each other if they're Christians. And we work together in the purpose and the glory of God. But there's a problem. And the problem is, are we walking in humility? Are we walking in meekness? Do we have the purpose of staying in unity? And it says that he teaches these things, that we have people in our lives, pastors and teachers, to help us along the way in the Word of God, studying what the apostles have said and the prophets have said about Jesus Christ. Jesus being the central figure. No, Jesus being everything. 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 That Jesus Christ is the person that we follow. And he's not a doctrine. There's doctrines about Jesus Christ, but he's a person. And we follow this Jesus. We have a relationship with him. He speaks to us. He shows us in his word truth. But he's given us leaders to help us along the way. In verse 13, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Would you say that the church in the world is in unity of faith? No. It's not a trick question. No. I wouldn't say that we're in the world, we're in unity of faith. I mean, how many of you listen to podcasts of other preachers? Yeah. I love doing that. I encourage you to do it. Find some good ones that's trustworthy and listen to them. But when you listen to people out there, you begin to get a feeling, ooh, that's not, where'd they come up with that? Where does that happen? And then you go to people who aren't, who don't see doctrine the same way that we do. It's like, oh my, oh my. Do you know, and this is a staggering statistic that just blows me away. I do not understand it. Those who call themselves Christians, those who call themselves pastors and teachers of the Word of God, do you know that there's a bigger percentage of them that do not believe that God became flesh and dwelt among us, but they believe that Jesus was a creation of God, that God created him? And if you study the Word of God, if you study John as we did over and over and over again, you see the revelation, God revealing who this Jesus was. John being led by the Spirit, revealing who Jesus was. He was God made flesh and dwelled among us. He was the one who created the heavens and the earth. And yet there's a lot of people out there, a lot of teachers out there who don't believe that. And so we have to be careful. He brings us into this faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature manhood or womanhood, to a mature person. Now, I asked you a moment ago, do you see unity of the faith in the world? And we would say no. Do you see a lot of maturity out there? Now, there you might take pause. As you look out there in the world and maybe in the church, you might take pause and say, well, I don't know. Let me see. And you might even be bold enough to think of yourself, well, I am one of those, but let me see who else is really mature out there. I tell you what, we got to be very careful. Because, see, the Bible says this. It says that knowledge puffs up, 1 Corinthians 8. Knowledge puffs up. You get a certain kind of knowledge. You study the Word, maybe, or you get to know some things in the Bible, and you begin to formulate ideas on how things should be. And in studying and formulating how things should be, you have a perception on how things should be. And then when someone doesn't line up like your perception on how things should be, then you feel superior. Then you feel, well, they need to have a word from me and get on the right track of how life really is. The Bible, for instance, let me just give you a practical illustration of that. The Bible says that we should worship Him with spirit and in truth. That we should worship God in spirit and in truth. The Spirit of God, being led by Him. Okay, how do you interpret that? Now, you could go, depending on the church that you want to try out and test this out, and see, okay, how do they? Because every church, yes, spirit and truth, spirit and truth. And yet there's all kinds of different ways in the world that people worship God in a church service. And here's our problem. We all think we're right. We all think, well, this is what God had in mind. Now, who's right? Well, we are. But there's so much of worship, and I'm talking about a church service and praise. I'm not talking about a life that is worshipful in everything that you do. I'm just talking about a church service and praise that in this, there's a lot of different ways that people do it. Which one is right? You don't go there. Because it more has to do with what do you prefer, a preference, than what is right and wrong. I'll give you an illustration of that in my own stupidity. When I was in my early 20, about 25, 24, 25, something like that, I'll never forget, this like had an imprint on my brain. I had been gone from the church that I grew up in and got saved in, and it was a dynamic church in Ojai Valley. But now I'm studying the Word. Now I'm thinking for myself. Now I come into a better understanding than my church on what worship is about. And I'll never forget the day we went back and visited. And I sat in that church service, the church service that I grew up in, and I had a critical attitude, a critical spirit. I want you to think with me. I want you to be careful in your own critical spirit, your own critical attitude in life on how things should be. Are you sure that's a biblical concept and how it should be, or is it just a preference? And so I sat there, and as they went through those old hymns, see, I have been enlightened, and I had come into a place of worship and the new song in the Lord, and we're singing new song. And I really attached to this thing of worshiping and then kind of singing. After you sing a song, everyone stops and you start singing a song, your own personal song to the Lord, a new song. And we, oh, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You know, we do that. And it was so rich and full, and I was spinning around and enjoying the presence of God. It was so glorious. Now I go back to this church, and they're singing the old hymns. Ah. They don't change. Those people, they're just stuck. Now here I am, 23, 24, 25, and I know so much more than these people that's been saints for 40 and 50 years. And as I'm sitting there and we're singing a hymn, just like that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it was just so simple, David. Like I say, you know, people call me Dave, but when I'm in trouble, Pam calls me David, and God does too, David. Listen to the words they're singing. Listen. Pay attention. And I stopped singing, and I began to read, and I broke and began to cry and asked God to forgive me. Forgive me in my pride and my arrogance that I thought that I have somehow arrived into a greater height. Oh, the only height that I had risen to was the only estimation of myself in pride. It was ugly. It sucked. And I repented. And I tell you, that little encounter with Jesus changed my life in an area for the rest of my life. And it doesn't matter where I go anymore. I remember going, it might have been your dad's funeral, Mike. It was some Catholic service. And I remember going, and you know, Catholic, sheesh, come on. You know, that was always my attitude. But the song, and I read it, and I began to weep again about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his love toward us. Well, I tell you, we need to be careful as we come into truth and understanding, as we come into a place and we learn more and more, we need to be careful on how it is affecting us. Are you growing up in a way that you're just proud of your learning? Or are you broken before the Lord? I have said this hundreds of times, and it's time to say it again. Your understanding in Scripture, your revelation, and your enlightenment in God needs to be judged by two things. How does it affect you in your love and service to God? And your love in serving people. Those two things. If it doesn't add to that, if you don't have a greater compassion, a greater love. Just this morning, my wife, where's Pepper? Pepper's down. Have you met Pepper? He's a dog. Got a dang dog in the church. But he's saved. Pam, Pepper was laying out here, and my wife leaned to me, and she said, oh, isn't that nice? And I looked at Pepper and looked at his master, Gerald, and I began to weep. So happy to have Pepper with us. Not because of Pepper, but because of a soul that's here listening to the Word of God and worshiping God. What's more important? Do you love God more and do you love people more? Or are you stuck? Are you stuck in an attitude, stuck on a doctrine, stuck on something that really isn't God's word, but a perception that you have, a preference that you have? Are you stuck? So he says, the different teachers and things, we're to humble ourselves and to receive because of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, or we're to become like Jesus Christ, that we may no longer, now we're to become mature, but for what reason? Well, to do ministry, but also he says this. Now listen, he says this. And it's so important that we get this, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. What are the schemes? What's the leading astray? What are the... And this is not the only place that the Word of God talks about. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 7, in your notes, 15 and 16. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And then Paul in Acts 20, it says, I know that after my departure, listen to this, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And then again in 2 Peter 2, it says, the false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying of the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow the sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not sleep. I tell you, those are pretty strong words, but the point is this that I want to make, is that we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard of things that we hear and things that people will say is in the Word of God. We need to know this. We need to know what the apostles and the prophets say. We need to follow what he has. And let me tell you, there's not a person here that doesn't have something wrong in our thinking. Dave Manning. There's every single one of us, but we're growing. We're linked. We're in this together. And we walk in humility and hey, I want to learn more. I want to know more. I want to become like Jesus Christ. Help me. I don't want to be tossed to and fro. To and fro. To where you get dizzy. And then you wonder, well, what's happened? I don't understand what God is doing. Why did this happen to me? And we get all confused to and fro by wind of doctrine. In the ESV, it says, I like how it's put, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves. By waves. Now, there's a lot of ways that you could... Okay. I'm not happy, but God's not looking for me to be happy. He's looking for me to have a joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. Now, what was I talking about? Where was I going? To and fro! Waves! Oh, be careful. Yeah. What are some way the waves come? How do the waves come to us? How do they come to us? One way is they come by emotions. That we have emotional ups and downs. And we all have that. You know, there's like this morning I had a really good emotional thing when Pam said, look at Pepper, look at Gerald. I mean, it was a good emotional thing that I felt. Then we have downer emotion, you know, things that affect us in a negative way. Well, this is what happens because we hear the voice of God, because God speaks to us, and from time to time, We hear it correctly. From time to time, we hear rightly. But there's other times, all it is really an emotional boost that we feel. We listen to a sermon or a song, and we get a stir in our soul. And I love that stir inside of me. But this is what we do sometimes, is we have that stir. Maybe we hear a sermon or maybe a situation that's going on, and something good happens and it stirs us, and then we get this, like, God speaking to me that the church needs to do this or that or the other thing. Now, I love it when people tell me that. Not really. But I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor Dave, man, I've been praying, and I just think the church ought to do this. Oh, boy, that's a great idea. I think the church ought to do that too. Make it happen. You know, let me tell you something. It hasn't happened very often when I've said that to someone that they've made it happen. There has been a few that's taken that command and made something happen that's been really good. That happened with Amber. Amber's always got ideas. That's kind of a person she is. She's always got her mind's going, and I know that more than ever as I live with her now. And in the morning, she's wide awake, and I'm not. And I'm just trying to wake up, you know, shooting myself with coffee. And I'm trying to wake up, and she's like this, Dad, you know what we ought to do?
Now, being the man of God that I am, what?
And this is what we had, and usually it's something really good, really good. But I tell you what, we've got to be careful. Not every time that God speaks to you is it for anyone else but you. Let me say that again, and I'll put it a little differently. Most of the time, almost always, when God speaks to you, it's for you and not for anyone else. Would you hear that? Yeah, but it's truth. Yeah, I know. In your notes, I think it's in your notes. Yeah, Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. Now listen to this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your own salvation. You work that out. Someone came in. I'm not going to tell you what they told me. But they gave me what they felt God was talking to them and just felt that everybody needed to do it. And I said, well, hey, why don't you do that for 5 years and then come and talk to me? Well, not only did it not last 5 years for them, but it petered out pretty quickly. Because you see, here's the thing. They were tossed to and fro by a wave of something that came over them. You feel good about life, and so, you know, you feel good. Something's good has happened. It's, oh, you love God's so good. But then something bad goes awry, and it's like, oh, where's God? Well, God hasn't moved. Your emotions have moved. Our emotions always let us down. We know that, right? Our emotions, you know, they always mess us up. When something good and we get all excited, and then when it goes away and we get down, it's like, what's happened, God? Well, no. The doctrine is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The doctrine is that he loves you right where you are. I mean, he calls us saints. And so that's your position. That's where you are. But you see, the waves that come tell you something different. Because the enemy, he knows you. The enemy knows you better than yourself. And he knows that you're not as good as you think you are. But he also knows that you think that you're better than you really are. And so every once in a while, when you mess up, he'll point it out. And I've seen people who mess up, who really screw their life up, and they'll say, I don't understand. I can't believe I did that. Well, I believe it. Not only have you done that, but you'll do worse than that because you have that in you. You're a sinful person. Now listen, we don't go around with our heads bowed and sorrowful and put sawdust and ashes on us, dust and ashes. We don't go around like, oh, I'm just no good. No, you're a saint. But you have a lot of work that God needs to do in your life. And you need to quit looking at other people and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. If you don't do that, you're going to be not only disappointed in yourself, but you'll be disappointed in other people. Because people are going to disappoint you if you don't have your eyes on Jesus Christ. When you have your eyes on Jesus Christ, you begin to see people with love, not with performance. And there's a difference. There's a lot of Christians that in their life, they perform. They do things because it's expected of them to do it. You go to a church, and there's certain ways that you live, and so when you go to church, you live that way. You can really judge your own self by what you do in secret when no one else is around. You need to judge that because that's how you really are. You're just a performer at church. I mean, how many times have you seen it or heard, or maybe you've done it yourself? You're fighting at home with each other, and then the phone rings, and you go, hello? You're performing. On the way to church, you're fussing and feuding, and you're angry at each other. You walk in the door and says, hi, Pastor Dave, how you doing? Oh, really good, how are you doing? Oh, great, you're performing. Now, actually, I'm kind of happy about that. I want to take my morning doing counseling with you. You know, get an appointment. Tossed. Back and forth. We hear something. We hear someone's articulate something very well. Oh, I'm going to live like that. I'm going to give myself to Jesus the rest of my life. And that wave that came of doctrine or inspiration or the emotion thing, you go up and then you go home and your spouse doesn't view you the same way you do. You view yourself as a better person than they view you. They probably have a more of a realistic idea than you do yourself. We're tossed to and fro by things that come into our thinking and our mind. Just One other point here. This is not in your notes. Let's see if I can find it real quick. 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 10. And it's interesting, Paul, as he talks about knowledge and what we know and how there can be a wrong kind of knowledge and there a wrong kind of understanding going to be a stronghold in my life. For instance, here's a stronghold in someone's life. If you say, someone tells you, well, you need to read the Bible, and you say, oh, I can't, I don't understand it. That's a stronghold. Because God wants you to read the Bible, and you just need to do it. And ask God to give you understanding. And as time goes, you will get understanding. Or the preacher says, hey, we need to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't talk to people about Jesus Christ. That's a stronghold. That's a thinking in our mind that's not of God, but it's of ourself. And we're wishy-washy with God. So this is what he says. In 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, what are the fortresses? Some might say or have said, oh, that's demon forces. Well, not really, but it can be. That's not what he's talking about here, about demon forces. He's talking about a spiritual of something that has happened in your life, maybe how you were raised, something difficult, something in your life they want to, and there's a stronghold in your brain. You have bad thinking. You say, I can't, I can't, I can't. When Paul tries to tell us, no, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But we have a stronghold. And it says, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, did you hear that? We're taking every thought. So this is thinking errors that we have, and we have to take those under control. And God will help you with that. You read the Word of God, and it says the factual things that the Bible says, what he says about Jesus Christ, what it says about witnessing, what it says about other things in your life, about loving your wife, or, I just can't do it, she's just unlovable. No, that's a stronghold. And you need to stop it. You need to stop saying things that are not biblical, and because you have these doctrines in your head, these waves of emotion, of thoughts that are carrying the day in your life instead of Jesus Christ and what his word says. And those things are to be brought down. Those things that are to be come against. The thought of God is to take power over your weaknesses and your failings and your thinking. Winds of doctrine, winds of things that waves that come over. Oh, I can't be a witness. I can't talk to anyone. And here's a good one. Here's a good one. Some of you are not going to believe this. Oh, I can't get in front of people. Is that what God says? Is that what God says? No, I realize it's awkward. It's awkward for me. Always has been. I flow a little better now than I used to when I first started preaching. I hated to get in front of people. And I didn't think I ever could. These strongholds on how you view yourself. Well, I just don't like to be with those kind of people. You don't like to be with those kind of people. What's wrong? What are those kind of people? Are they alcoholics or those kind of people? Or what are they, weird? Or they have long hair or no hair at all? What are those people, those kind of people? No, that's a stronghold in your head. That's your own thinking that the enemy has worked in you and your thoughts, and that has to be brought down by the thoughts in Jesus Christ. You're a saint. Now, we got a long ways to go, but we need to stop being tossed by emotion and by what we think of ourselves instead of, hey, this is what God says. Well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, I know it's hard, and I don't know if I can either, but let's see if God might do a miracle. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if something that has a stronghold in your head, maybe in your personality, that how you view yourself, and you just hold on to that, well, I just can't do this. Oh, stop that. Stop that bad language. Stop that stuff where there's strongholds that are just oozing out of your mouth. Let me tell you what you say. When you speak things like that, you just make that thing stronger. I've said this before. After Vietnam, there was something that happened to me that wasn't good. I never had a fear of heights before. And I developed this thing, a fear of heights. And I fought against that. I worked on, you know, three-story houses, standing on the outside, and worst team kind of. And so, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. Afraid of heights. Oh, yeah. So some reason, somehow, I developed this thing of fear of flying. Now, I hate saying that because I know what happens. Now, I don't speak about that. I don't tell people that. But every time we fly somewhere, and it wasn't that long ago, I was flying all the time to Texas and Houston and doing pastoral stuff. And, I mean, I just, okay, God, when it starts taking off, okay, I'm ready to go, you know. Jesus, nothing but the blessed, you know, that kind of thing. And it's become a stronghold. Let me tell you, if you take something like that and you begin to say it over and over, oh, I hate flying, or I know something's going to happen, I can't stand, and you say that, let me tell you what will happen. You get such a stronghold in your head, in your thinking, that you will not be able to fly because you will be convinced something bad is going to happen to you. It's that way in so many lives, in so many ways, we get something in our head, and it's not of God. And you're tossed by waves instead of by the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? Okay, that's not enough of you. Let's start all over. No. Does that make sense? Do you get that? Do you understand that? You can't be saying things that influence, that damage in your brain. All it does is it reinforces it and make it a bigger stronghold. You just need to overcome that in Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's stand. I don't have to be afraid.
What I was going to say.
This thinking about changing in your brain is something that I've seen recently in people's lives that's been so positive and so good. And it has to do with Tuesday night. Now, we don't have Tuesday night during the summer. And we're going to start it up middle of September sometime. Again, I tell you, you need to participate because we get a little pushy. I know some of you don't like that, and because it's awkward for you, and because you can't. There's just a lot of things in our head. But let me tell you a couple things that I've seen in people who, after 2 years, we were in a circle and praying. And all of a sudden, someone prayed who never talks, who's like a mouse, who I'd never heard pray before. And it was one of the most powerful prayers and sincere and articulate. And it just blessed me. I had to look at the person. Like, is this who I think it is? I mean, it was absolutely a glorious. And what happened? Well, they were pushed to pray. They were pushed to get out of themselves a little bit. And as a result, now listen, as a result, Jesus Christ became glorified. I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus in a life. Bring down those strongholds. Father, today as we go, we want to go in power and strength. Lord, you call us saints, and you've lifted us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've adopted us into the kingdom of God. We're sons and daughters. Oh, Lord, help us to work some of these things out with fear and trembling in our salvation. Help us, Lord, to overcome the strongholds that the enemy has placed there, or just how we were raised, or hurtful things that have happened, and we're controlled by fears. Lord, may we be strong in Jesus. May we be overcomers in Jesus. May we focus on you. Wanting more than anything else in our life is to glorify you in your name. So go with us today. May you be honored by our actions, by our deeds, and by our battling in the Spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.